Thank you, Emma. Always good to hear your voice. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our Q1 conference call, which is more of an update to our full year call only 4 weeks ago. Still, 4 weeks can be a long period in time, and particularly in times like this, and we have a few positive news to report to you. Please have a look at slide 3 and the headlines. Our only recently achieved ESG rating has been reviewed and upgraded to prime. We have issued our first sustainability-linked bond, and it has been a huge success. We are close to launching a foundation, which is going to be a permanent platform of cooperation in connection with our efforts to develop a smart office standard. We have a look and give you an assessment of the current disruption in the commodity markets. We present you yet with another set of excellent financials. And finally, we confirm our positive outlook from 1 month ago. Let us look deeper into the topics. Please follow me to slide number 4. We are pleased to announce that the most recent ESG review resulted in an upgrade to C+. This does not only, quote-unquote, mean that we have reached prime status, but also that we are at the top of our peer group together with Alstra Office REIT. This says it all about our commitment to environmental, social, and governance matters, and it also means that we do not have to pay a higher coupon for our bond, as this coupon is linked to our ESG rating. Let me hand over to Patrick for details on the sustainability-linked bond. He is not only the main person behind the success of this issue, he is also the main person today, as it is his birthday. Patrick, please.
Thank you, Thomas, and a warm welcome also from my side. Please turn to slide number 5. We were overwhelmed by the demand for this kind of financial instrument, which also got strong media coverage in newspapers like the FAZ, as it has been one of the first sustainability-linked bonds in Europe targeted to retail customers. The maximum volume had to be increased to 150 million euros, and the books were still closed after only 2 hours. What is important for us? As 70 million euros of the 2017 to 2022 bond have been extended for another 5 years, there are only 80 million left to pay back next year, which flattens our debt maturity profile significantly. This is, however, only the starting point of our transition to a truly green financing. More to come, promised. Please turn to slide number 6 and back to Thomas.
Thanks, Patrick. We are also making fast progress with our smart standard for the new office world. An important element of this strategy is the initiation of a permanent platform for cooperation in form of a foundation, a so-called Verbrauchsstiftung, in accordance with German law. This foundation offers industry partners, facility managers, or even universities the opportunity to sit down with us and establish an innovative ecosystem for smart offices. We, as a real estate developer, usually do not talk directly to the industry and have no established contacts to any of these parties. With our smart office project Nico in Frankfurt, we can even offer a kind of real lab for which standards can be developed in a real-life environment. In this respect, we can claim to be a true innovation leader and more than only a smart follower. Let me now change the subject completely and proactively address the current disruption on the commodity markets. For me, as a regular NTV viewer, it's almost not comprehensible how much media attention is paid to the subject, which also seems to blow it somewhat out of proportion. Please turn to slide number 7. It should not come as a surprise that the global crisis, such as the COVID crisis, which almost brought the entire world to a standstill, leads to a disruption in global supply chains. On top of this, we have seen a blockage of the Suez Canal and the dark side of government intervention. Now, what do I mean? Well, with a more than 18% duty imposed on Canadian wood imports to the U.S. And with the construction boom in full swing in the U.S. and in China, it cannot come as a surprise that timber prices, in particular timber futures, go temporarily through the roof. Shipping lumber with fossil fuel vessels around the globe because of tariffs and missing out on properly pricing CO2, how insane and how unsustainable. By the way, this is not restricted to timber, but true for almost all kind of raw materials at the moment. We have seen similar short-term developments after the Lehman crisis in 2008. The main beneficiaries are the intermediaries in the supply chain, and the phenomenon is called arbitrage. We should actually not be surprised by it. It is still worth looking at the facts and the most likely development of the situation. For this purpose, please turn to slide number 8. There are people seriously worried that we could run out of wood in Germany or Austria. They do not seem to care that more than 30% of Germany and almost half of Austria are covered by woods. More importantly, the wood stock is growing. What does this mean? It means that the woods in our two core markets are growing faster than they can be harvested. Yes, the right word to be used is harvesting. We are not talking about the rainforest or the last remaining parts of the jungle. Germany alone sits on 3.7 billion cubic meters of wood stock. So there is no shortage of raw material. There's an issue with the supply chain. This means that, for example, sawmills have been affected by the pandemic, and the same is true for all other intermediaries in the supply chain. But let me state this loud and clear. There can be no doubt that there is enough wood in the German and Austrian forests to change our way of looking at construction in the future. The best examples in this respect are: each day there is enough new wood growing which would allow for 10,000 single family houses to be built in timber. Every day. And it takes no more than 5 minutes for the wood to grow the timber which is needed for our 8th floor timber pioneer. The big question is, how quickly will the supply chain adapt to the new market conditions? For everyone who believes in the power of the market, there can be no doubt that this is going to happen rather sooner than later. By the way, the same is true for almost all other raw materials, which are currently seeing unusual price developments, which everybody could have anticipated from experience with previous disruptions of this magnitude. With this, I would like to hand back to Patrick once more, giving you an update on our Q1 financials.
Thank you, Thomas. As you can see on the chart, the first quarter 2021 has been a solid start into the year. We have achieved earnings before tax of 16.1 million euro, which generated a net profit of 11.7 million euro. Comparing the set of numbers to the last year, please bear in mind that Q1 2020 was an exceptional one due to our transaction in Munich with ARE, the Austrian real estate. If you take a closer look at the first quarter's EBT numbers of the year 2018 and 2019, you can see that despite our predicted corona dent in 2021, we are well on our way and everything is pointing into the right direction, which Thomas will come to in the outlook a bit later. At the end of the first quarter, equity reaches a level of more than 490 million euros. Net debt stands at 524 million and is very well under control, despite the fact that we paid for the Bogner headquarter at the end of Q1. Our loan-to-value ratio currently stands at 36.5%, still under-leveraged in the light of our business model. In summary, strong financials, which give us enough room to maneuver. Let me now turn to slide number 10, our cash position. Despite the cash out for the acquisition of Bogner in the first quarter of 2021, our record cash level increased further to €254 million, in other words, a quarter of a billion euro. And this is even before the cash in from the successful issuance of our bond. Cash at hand proved to be a sharp weapon when it comes to opportunity hunting. Having cash means being able to guarantee transaction security without dependency on a bank refinancing, bank guarantees, bank processes for the acquisition and the like. The Bogner headquarters in Munich are a property with excellent development potential. We believe that especially the deal process guarantee we can offer will lead us to further opportunities in the next quarters. The acquisitions made in 2021 will, however, only have a positive influence on UBM's earning development from 2022 onwards. But let's take a look together on the next slide, where Thomas will give you an outlook for the next month.
Yes. Let us come to the last slide of our formal presentation, slide 11. The headline of today's press release says it all. Q1 2021 has been the second best quarter in the company's history. For the remaining three quarters, everything points in the right direction, and I am almost tempted to say it runs according to script. We have seen the low in confidence indices and already hear the first concerns about inflation or overheating. While one always has to take this seriously, as perception might turn into reality, we reserve the right to put all of this into a more sober context, less angst and greed driven. We shall continue our green financing efforts as much as our acquisition efforts. We are cautiously optimistic for our hotel operations as the disrupted travel industry will come right over time, the same as with the supply chains. The challenges for the remainder of this year are to deal with the short-term effects from COVID. For us, this means to offset the effects from no acquisitions for a period of more than 12 months. The remedy is to trade some of our potential projects rather than develop them ourselves to keep the corona dent as small as possible in 2021. Still, there will be a dent, a delle, and we have explained the reasons why. With new acquisitions being turned into forward sales, the midterm perspective remains fully intact. We have no doubts that the demand for real assets will prevail. Real estate stays the best protection against inflation and is the best answer if you fear devaluation. With this, I would like to open the line for your questions and thank you for your attention.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Andre Remke with Baader Bank AG. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sirs. Thanks for the presentation and happy birthday to you, Patrick. Coming to my question, starting with the first one, it's on your cash position. It is unchanged despite the 55 million investment in Bogner. Does this mean you have financed the deal with debt and not with any kind of cash? And you issued the bond. I think it is right to assume a further 80 million in cash, i.e. overall you are above 300 million. The question is, maybe you could elaborate a bit more, what are the main pillars to deploy the parts of, at least parts of the cash over the upcoming quarters, or is it really purely for opportunity hunting? This is the first question.
Okay, so if I strip the question a bit down, you were asking, have we done the Bogner deal with loans? No, we haven't. So we have paid that from cash. And the reason why the liquidity has nevertheless went up has different sources. One source is that we got some dividends in from an equity deal of last year, and dividends are always coming later than the result. That was a deal in Munich. And we also have got some of the money from debt we have incurred in other projects where we did a refinancing or a financing and increased the debt a little bit. So our different sources are coming to the liquidity. So to the second part of your question, what are you going to do with the 80 million? It's correct that the 80 million are not yet in this number included because it was a deal in the second quarter. Most of the money will be used for opportunity hunting in the end. So there is no other reason to increase our liquidity position than that we are foreseeing and hoping for new deals to come and to invest the money sooner than later.
Okay, perfect. And then on page 5 of your presentation, you mentioned ESG linked hybrid plan for June. Could you probably already provide some background here, and will the existing hybrid be involved in this transaction?
So we are currently in the process of evaluating if we are going for the hybrid, and we have also made it public that we are currently thinking about that option. If we go for the option, it would include the old hybrid. So we are trying to push the can a little bit further down the road and have an exchange. It works differently than an exchange on a ordinary bond, because it's rather a buyback program than an exchange program from a technical point of view. But it would involve the old hybrid. And we are, I would say, currently in the last phase of evaluating if we go public with the hybrid or not.
Okay, thank you very much. Then the third question is, thanks to your view on the commodity and timber side, by the way, I like the toilet paper comparison, maybe it would be helpful to get an impression by how much a construction cost could increase for example, for your most prominent timber pioneer project. Do you have such numbers as a kind of example?
Is it massive? Let me no, it isn't. Let me take over, even if it's Patrick's birthday. Look, it always depends from what perspective you're looking at it. Okay, if you're a carpenter in Germany, okay, you're in deep troubles because you would have never thought of storing wood because it could increase in price by 50 to 75%. Okay, and that's the current price increases that we see. We are not the carpenter, we are the developer. So what we are looking at is the total investment costs. So this is the cost for the land or the property that we've acquired. It's the financing costs. It's also all the rest that goes not into the shell. Okay, the shell being the Rohbau. So for us, that relativates the situation quite significantly. Let me get a bit more concrete. With the timber pioneer, okay, you look at something between 5 and 10%, and I stay vague on purpose, or give you a very wide spread on purpose, so that you don't have the precise number, or rather our contractor doesn't get the precise number, but you have something like 5 to 10% of the total investment costs that come from the shell. Then in the shell, of course, you have all kind of costs. It's a timber hybrid construction, so it would also include the floors that are made out of concrete. And if you then strip it down to the pure cost of wood, we are talking something like 1 to 2% of the total investment costs. Now, is it completely irrelevant? No.
if you're not, you know, your total costs between 1 and 2, let's take 1.5 percent, are doubling, then you have 3% of your total investment cost, and we are talking a three-digit number. Okay, so it is kind of, you know, significant, but we are talking a small single-digit million number in connection with a huge project like the Timber Pioneer, and that puts it all into perspective. Again, and I hope I was clear enough on this one, what we see at the moment, okay, is clearly, you know, people benefiting from the disruption of supply chains, okay? And I also do not understand why even the Biden administration hasn't kind of abolished the import taxes for Canadian timber, but rather has doubled them, because they are pouring oil into the fire, and there is a lot of talk about affordability of single-family homes in the U.S. I'm completely against, you know, any export restrictions, because I think that the market sorts it out quicker and more effectively and efficiently than any other mechanism. But this is what we have at the moment, and as I said, as most of you participating are from Germany, I'm completely kind of, you know, an unbelievable TV watcher that this makes the headline news, but it is what it is, and we have to deal with it. However, it is, in our perception, a very short-term phenomenon.
Okay, thank you. If I follow up question on that, if I get you right, you will also not give any kind of hedging on the prices for upcoming projects. So there is simply not the need in your view. Is it right?
Look, I mean, it's not a new phenomenon for us. We have, as long as we were focused on concrete construction, always looked at steel prices. But in most of the projects, even the large-scale projects that we are doing, okay, it would have made no sense to take out a hedge against it. You know, it's different if you build a steel bridge, but that's not our business, you know. And for this reason, I think hedging something like this is overly cautious and would not do justice to the size of the problem.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for that. A very last question is on your hotel business. Probably it's a bit too early, but do you already have more concrete opening plans for your hotel business? How is the situation here?
Yeah, we have a soft opening on Monday, a virtual soft opening, which is already sounding sad, you know, to have a virtual soft opening for our Voco Hotel in the Netherlands, in The Hague. We will have a grand opening, but we wait for Martina to join us, because you always have a soft opening and or a virtual opening and then a grand opening once the operations are up and running. That will be followed by openings of the two Polish hotels in autumn of this year. And by the end of this year, we hope for a soft opening in Prague, but again, a grand opening of the hotel, a solid opening of the hotel, which should be a big party rather than a virtual event, is going to be planned for February of next year.
Okay. And what about the managed hotels? So the 5 in Germany,
well, they are all,
I think.
They're all opened meanwhile, okay, including also the Crown Plaza in Amsterdam. They are all up and running. It is less costly than having to have them closed. The occupancy rate is poor, and we do not expect the occupancy rate for this year, okay, in the overall year perspective, to get anywhere above 35%. But it's, I think, for us, and particularly for our colleagues working at these hotels, very important that they are on the way back to normality, and that none of the hotels at the moment is shut down.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. That's from my side.
Thank you.
The next question comes line of Stefan Schaaf with SRC Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen, and first of all, happy birthday, Patrick. Now 48 years like me, and only 19 more Q1 reports, and then we are done. So
yeah.
So I'm afraid to say it could be that Patrick is done earlier.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, in Austria could be true. Yeah,
early retirement.
Thomas is putting too much pressure on me, so I don't.
Okay, I see. Yeah. First question again, a little question for the hybrid bond. Can you say if you vote for the hybrid bond about the volume and what coupon might be realistic? I could think about something like 5% or so, but perhaps you have more precise ideas here. And my second question would be about the deal you mentioned or you announced on Friday, the Ranken City in Graz. And perhaps you can say here a little bit more about the margin of this deal and say a little bit more about the percentage of completion you expect here to come, let's say, at least until the end of this year.
Mm-hmm. Let me start with the Ranken City. Ranken City construction only started in mid-May, so we even tomorrow, or the day after tomorrow, we have the groundbreaking ceremony there in parallel to our annual general meeting. Of course, as from the start of the construction, you will see the POC. We are not giving margins on single projects. That's also true for Ranken City. I can give you a hint. It's a resi development. Okay, and resi developments at the moment command very, very attractive prices, or to put it the reverse way, very kind of, you know, competitive margins for investors. So we are happy. The investor is happy. The transaction has awaited all the permissions. So I think they should be in good shape. We are also, of course, taking this into our accounts. Still, put it into proportion, it's a 33 million euro project.
Okay.
Quickly on the hypothetical hybrid bond. The situation is not so different to the hybrid bond we have already in the market, because at the start of the hybrid bond, we also issued a bond of 150 million by that point in time with a margin of 3.25. And the hybrid ended with a volume of 100 million and 5.5. So if we look at today's situation, I wouldn't see the volume too differently currently if I could choose a volume. And on the pricing side, we have to see how good the market is. And as I tried to point out also on the question Andreas asked, we are not 100% 100% approved now, or we are still in the phase of asking ourselves if we go to the market or not. The new thing with the hybrid is, of course, that it has an ESG link in it. So it's a new product, and we want to get greener on the financing side as well. So if it is possible, and if the market conditions are sound, and if the volume is achievable, from that point of view, it would make sense to do the hybrid sooner than later.
Okay. One more question about the cash you have and what we can expect from the transaction side. You announced the Bogner deal in February, and What would be a good deal for you? Let's say in Germany, another conversion area with an old building, industry building, or a good inner city location, and then to bring this space to a very modern office or very modern resi. This is what you search for in Germany, or what would be a good deal or a good opportunity?
Well, number one, you should take some comfort out of our discipline, because we were sitting on a huge cash pile for a while before doing our first deal. I think everybody has appreciated that the Bogner situation was a win-win for both sides, and we are pretty confident that we have hit there the bull's eye. When it comes to hinting what is next, I can give you the hint. I believe that we are further advanced in Germany, so we expect the next acquisition rather to happen in Germany than in Austria or one of our other markets. And it could be both. It doesn't make the big difference for us, as long as it is kind of, you know, good in the context of green, smart, and more. So it needs to fulfill this criteria. And it's the first question that everyone out in the field making acquisitions is asking him or herself. Is that a project that could fit well into the green, smart, and more transaction?
Okay. Okay, you mentioned shortly on slide 15 the Nico Frankfurt smart office concept, and Nico Frankfurt is quite a bit on the time horizon to be completed until the end of 23. But perhaps you can say a little bit more here about the plans with Nico, or the showrooms, or the concept here, and when you will go in marketing for this project. And also, slide 15, there is mentioned the package 6, a mixed package. Perhaps you can say here a little bit more.
Yeah, excellent question. Look, with Nico, we are making very good progress, and we are in the pre-marketing phase with CBRE, okay? And the response we are getting is pretty positive. For those who haven't kind of acquainted themselves with Nico, it's nico-office.de, okay? The homepage is nico-office.de, and you get all the details for this project, and you see how far advanced it is. We can give you the number of lodgers, we can give you the number of receptions, we have it all in place. But as you know, because we are cautious people, we want a certain pre-occupancy rate before we start the construction. But we have the permits in place. And we are pretty confident that with the response that we're getting from Nico, it will be started within the next month.
Mm. Okay.
So that was the one question. On the Paket 6, Package 6, well, here we have kind of, you know, bought ourselves into return generating assets. Okay, so we knew this would be kind of a longer term project, and it is financed by itself, if you want. And to a certain extent, we have also bought into this package so that we have trading chips with the city of Vienna. Okay, because some of the premises, I think, would be better for the city of Vienna to take them back and maybe give us alternative areas. But as you can hear from my explanation, this is a kind of, you know, time-consuming process which definitely was set back by COVID. So I expect that the one or other project out of Paket 6 is going to be developed. I mean, we've seen already Polgasse, which is one of the projects that we have developed out of Package 6. But the big bulk of it, okay, strongly depends on, you know, how we agree with the city of Vienna on the cut of the cake.
Okay, the Package 6 is only land or property in Vienna or also outside Vienna?
No, it's all in Vienna. It's all in Vienna, and it's all built-up areas. Quite a few of them are like Lebensmittel Einzelhandel, smaller, you know, retail businesses in densely built resi areas. It goes to, I don't know, Palais type of, you know, first district buildings, and we try to cut this into digestible, good, you know, packages where, as I said, some will go maybe to Vienna, to the city of Vienna, and some will be developed by ourselves, and some will be sold.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Philipp Kaiser with Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello everyone. Thanks for taking my question. Just only one question left from my side regarding the revaluation. And what is the source for the 10 million revaluation shown on the income statement?
Mm-hmm. That is a question for me, obviously. It was a subsequent event, and one of the tradings Thomas was mentioning in order to make the Corona dent look a little bit smaller at the end of the year. It is Levelinstraße, a Munich office, and we have sold that on to a next party. And it was a subsequent event, as I said, so the signing and closing was after 31st of March. That is the reason why you find that in the fair value adjustment instead of just seeing that ordinarily in the P&L.
Okay.
Maybe, Philip, let me follow up on this one because I really like this example. You haven't seen it in the pipeline because it was too quickly, you know, turned around. The neighbor who's bought the piece of land, okay, has already bought two further pieces of land. And so, you know, he has basically done what we have planned to do, but he was a bit quicker. In return, he was prepared to pay a very good price. And this is exactly what we want to do to accommodate the capital markets expectations that we smoothen the profitability profile of our company. More to come.
Thanks a lot.
So at this time, there are no further questions. I hand back to Thomas Winkler for closing comments.
Excellent. As I said, it's been an update. I think the big thing was Patrick's birthday today. Yeah. We did everything to make this happen and possible. Still, let's not, be in the wrong mood. I think it's been a very good start into the year. I think everything points in the right direction. And I'm looking forward to welcoming you after the summer break to give you the half-year numbers. Thanks for your time with us and for your attention. Bye-bye.
Thank you.